But we begin with the ongoing effort to defeat ISIS in the Middle East. The terrorist organization that has now beheaded multiple hostages is holding at least 22 others from 12 countries and seems to be continually expanding its reach in Iraq and Syria. The U.S. effort so far to combat ISIS has been restricted to airstrikes in Iraq and Syria, and President Obama says he has no plans to deploy U.S. ground forces there beyond the up to 3,000 intelligence officers and advisors already in Iraq or on their way there, despite the fact that Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Martin Dempsey's suggestion that the recommendation for boots on the ground could be in the president's near future. Now, one person who is calling for U.S. troops, and this might not be a surprise to many of you, Ambassador Paul Bremer. Bremer was tapped by President George W. Bush as the presidential envoy to Iraq in 2003, and he ran Iraq during that period after the fall of Saddam Hussein as head of the Coalition Provisional Authority. Bremer's calling for another surge in Iraq and for the American military to do all that is necessary to defeat ISIS.
The president, I think, deserves credit for taking a tough decision, particularly given what his position had been when he agreed to reengage in Iraq in August. And he has correctly defined his objective, I think, which is to degrade and destroy ISIS. But so far, he hasn't put in place the tools needed to achieve that objective. And gradually, I think he's beginning to realize he's going to have to put more troops in. And the euphemism about boots on the ground and combat forces and so forth effectively is going to have to be put aside.
What's your understanding, having been in Iraq and operated there, about the function, the true function, the combat function, if you will, of U.S. advisors? Now, they don't all have the same job. Some are involved in intelligence. Some are involved in helping the Iraqi army select targets. Some are involved in advising. Some of those are euphemisms that I think ordinary people don't understand. And the question sort of goes to this point. If we're going to have 3,000 sets of boots in Iraq within the next month or two, what exactly is it that they are doing, if not pulling the trigger and aiming at ISIS fighters?
I think you passed over, mentioned several of the areas. One is certainly collecting and providing intelligence and doing the planning based on that intelligence. As this campaign develops away from its total reliance on air attacks, it's going to have to move to ground troops, which have to retake cities, Fallujah, Mosul, et cetera. The ground forces will need good intelligence for urban warfare. You need to know which building the bad guys are in. And for that, you need forward air observers, if you're going to call in airstrikes or drone strikes. You need planners who are going to figure out the best way to, say, retake a building that ISIS is occupying in, say, Mosul or Ramadi. For that kind of thing, you need forward people, Americans in the forward area, doing forward spotting, communicating back to the air forces, and helping plan. And that's the kind of operation that I think we're going to see. Whether you call those combat forces or forces with a combat mission, which is another of the euphemisms that the administration has used, is essentially a detail. They're going to be at risk. And I think most Americans would say, well, they're in combat. And they would be right.
You know, Ambassador Paul Bremer, the thing about this entire debate that strikes me that's so interesting and maybe so hard to get your head around is that the intellectual sort of basis of a new surge fighting ISIS over there is very similar to the one from 2003 after 9/11, which really is a doctrine of preemption. We have to go and confront ISIS now in the deserts of Iraq or Syria so that they don't harm us at home. And to a lot of Americans, as you know, that sounds eerily familiar to the justifications for the invasion in 2003, which American history has recorded, for better or for worse, as a big mistake.
Well, I would start by contesting your last statement. I think it's a little early for history to make any judgments. And I can make a counter-argument that it was not a big mistake, but that's perhaps for another discussion. Whether the situation mirrors or doesn't mirror some situation in the past is really not the question. The question is, what is the threat we face now? We now face one of the most extreme terrorist threats America has ever faced, a group of people, particularly with Americans among them, among the fighters, who could come back to the United States with their American passports and conduct attacks on the homeland. Those are facts.
Ambassador Paul Bremer was United States envoy in Baghdad in 2003 and 2004 at the dawn of the Iraq War. And Ambassador, we had Stuart Bowen on the show. He was the American lawyer who served as the Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction up until October of 2013, detailing at least $10 billion that went missing of U.S. money. Now, I bring it up to you because Bowen made the point and made it very clearly that a lot of that money is what ISIS is living off of now. And our host, John Hockenberry, asked Bowen about your role and about the role of the U.S. envoy in Baghdad at the time. Listen.
In 2003, tens of billions of dollars in cash, both Iraqi and U.S. money, were transported to Iraq into effectively a war zone with not enough oversight, and too much of it went missing. When I met with Prime Minister Maliki a couple of years ago, partly to discuss this case, but also to discuss corruption, he pointed his finger at me and said, "You caused us to be corrupt by bringing all this cash and putting it in front of us without a coherent system. Theft, perfidy was inevitable."
Now, Ambassador Bremer, I'm going to let you answer, but listen to what Stuart Bowen said about your role.
Ambassador Bremer, who was the administrator of the Coalition Provisional Authority, really was asked to do an impossible task: rebuild a country that was collapsing. And perhaps we went too fast, with too much money, too soon, and as a result didn't accomplish enough, didn't meet our goals well enough, and a civil war, frankly, ensued.
Paul Bremer, Stuart Bowen said you were given an impossible task, but that nevertheless so much of that money has filtered through Iraqi corruption and feeds ISIS today.
Well, if you have a minute, I'd like to answer those accusations.
Please.
First of all, Mr. Bowen's assertion about money going missing is based on a report that some of his staffers wrote after spending fewer than 10 days in Iraq in the spring of 2004. What they looked into in terms of money was Iraqi money, not American money. These were not appropriated American funds. These were funds that belonged to the Iraqi government and which were used to pay Iraqi civil servants and to pay basically the government expenses, the Iraqi government expenses. His two staffers spent about 10 days in the offices of the Coalition Provisional Authority. They never visited any Iraqi ministries. They reported that while we could say which money went to which ministry, and the ministry could confirm they received the money, that the ministry, say the Ministry of Agriculture, could not account to the last dinar for the funds that were transferred to it. Well, this is perhaps correct, but you have to remember at that time, most Iraqi ministries had no computers, they had no modern accounting systems, they had no capacity to track funds down to the last provincial office. Bowen essentially proposed that we should not have spent this money. This was Iraqi money, well, not ours. We should have not had spent it, which would have meant not paying the civil servants, not paying for the importation of goods and services, until we had put in place a Western-style accounting system. That would have, I think, been a serious mistake. And I've told Mr. Bowen since then that I think that would have been an impossibility. Nobody in a responsible position would have said we shouldn't pay the Iraqi government until we had an internationally accountable system in place. So I think his report, which is the basis from which he has since made these accusations, is simply incorrect and proposed a level of sophistication that was essentially impossible to put in place in Iraq in the short time we were there. I agree you could make the case that perhaps we should have stayed longer, that we should have waited, but we certainly could not simply not pay people in Iraq for 14 months or a year and put that in basically on hold until we had an internationally acceptable accounting system in the government. That's just simply not a realistic goal.
Before we let you go, Ambassador Paul Bremer, I want to bring it back to the current day and sort of take a step back from this conflict. You were involved, of course, so intimately in Iraq. You're advocating for more of a surge, greater U.S. involvement now in Iraq. What does it mean to ask the American people to sign up for hundreds, maybe thousands of more U.S. troops lost in Iraq after all those years of war and after all the controversy that ensued in the war that ousted Saddam Hussein in the aftermath?
Well, it's obviously not something anybody would propose, certainly I wouldn't, if I didn't believe it was important to American interests. That's what we're talking about here. And I think we need to recognize that the successes that were achieved between 2003 and 2009, you have to remember we defeated al-Qaeda in Iraq by the end of 2009. They were a defeated force. And I think we now, and because we made some mistakes, including pulling our troops out in 2011, we now are forced to go back in and defeat basically the son of al-Qaeda in Iraq called ISIS. It's not an easy decision or an easy recommendation to make, but the consequences for American interests of not doing it, I think, are even greater.
Ambassador Paul Bremer was head of the Coalition Provisional Authority in Baghdad from 2003 until 2004. Ambassador, thanks for being on The Takeaway.
Nice to be with you again.